Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, guys, it's Christopher Lewis, and welcome to Dating Intelligence, the podcast, where we give relationship advice from dating to marriage and everything else in between, and always with the goal of helping you to continuously be the best you at all times.
So if you're looking for real life information to help you navigate your relationship, we've got you covered.
We've got you covered. All right, guys. Hello, hello. Hi. Hi, honey. Hi. We're at another day at Sticky Paw Studios.
One for three.
You're like one for three today. Big
Thank
time.
You.
And why am I looking at, speaking of one for three, why are there three knives sitting on the table
right in front of me? I couldn't decide which one. I just have like all the cool, like look at these.
Guys, Jamie is showcasing these amazing, that's the Microtech knives?
Yeah.
Great
Shout
ones.
Shout out to Microtech.
Yeah, I need to get me one of those just because they just.
What for? They're not even legal
in
California.
But the blue, look at that. You just messed, okay, that one is awesome
this
too.
This one is Cali legal. These are not. These
See,
are
I don't understand. Why is the biggest one legal and the smaller ones
well,
are not?
This is like a folder.
Okay, all
so
right.
So you can have the folders, but in where you live,
yeah.
An OTF.
Oh, okay.
It's a no-go.
All right. Well, just give me one of the no-goes. I like being one of those type
but
of people.
But I did have, I don't know if I had them in California.
No. I'm a rule follower, but I have my own set of rules. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
So, all right, guys, we're going to jump right in this one since we have this amazing woman sitting next to us today. Our guest today is a private flight attendant who can do more than just cater to the rich and famous and point you to the nearest exit rows. This mile-high hottie is an extreme adventurer, as extreme adventurous as they come. Not only has she been to every major stop in the world, she has reached the summit of a few mountaintops as well. And the list goes on, from motorcycles to meditation and world-class chef skills. Her resume will charm anyone she sets her eyes on. Please welcome the incredible and sexy chameleon, Kayla Perez, to the show. Hi, Kayla.
Hey. Hello.
How are you?
I'm amazing.
Good.
Thank you for having
I'm
me.
I'm loving what you're wearing, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to just like cozy up next to you and just be like, yes, whatever you say.
He just wants to touch you.
Don't let her fool y'all. So, but she's right, though. No,
oh, my God.
Oh, this is why I have the guest sit next to me. Like I said, I missed this in the earlier episode.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, it was hard because usually our guests are always like across.
Yeah.
And our last guest was over here. So the whole time I was like this.
And I'm like this. I'm like, I can't.
And he's trying
far.
To get
it's
closer.
Far. It's too far.
A little so. Perv.
In the best way, people. Yeah. In the best way. So how are you?
I'm doing amazing.
Good.
I'm doing amazing. Yeah, just been trying to train hard for, you know, the mountains in between flying and kind of balancing my entire being.
Okay.
Right? It's been, we had a great weekend, went to Country Festival.
Yeah, you guys are together this weekend. That's right. All right, tell me about that. You said it was called Tailgate.
Yeah, so my friend Mal and Giancarlo produce this every year. It's the third annual, and it's basically a country festival that you can tailgate at. So bring your, you know, your beer, your hot dogs, whatever you want to bring in, tailgate. And everyone just has a good time, and there's great artists, and they collab. It's a little bit of a hip-hop spin with country. They
okay.
have Uncle Brown and Billy Currington. So it's fun.
And this is for 3 days, correct?
This is for 2 days,
gotcha.
Actually. So, they have a little pool party, makeshift pool party.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. good.
It's amazing on how, like I was telling, it's like a little mini, like a half a little weekend Burning Man sort of situation. Cause you're just bringing your own stuff and building up for a stage and all this stuff for this event. But I wonder, it's like what are the setups like that some of the people had? Are they coming out in like RVs and things like that as well?
Oh yeah. Cornhole, okay. barbecue grills.
Like, okay. Not your typical sporting tailgate, I take it, then, basically.
I mean, it is pretty similar.
Okay, you know, that's right, because they do bring the big stuff.
And you have your beard.
Bikinis, a lot of naked cowboys.
And the pool. Who
that's true. She's not lying there.
Is this after day two, basically? You've seen a lot of that running around?
Like day two, we didn't even make it to the front, and a naked cowboy approached us. Hot guy.
It was effort.
Yeah.
I like that it was effort. Yeah. What time of day was this? Morning, noon, evening?
Afternoon-ish.
Okay. Yeah, that's an early start, by the way.
Yeah.
Like early mm-hmm. evening. Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah.
All right.
He was good looking.
Yeah.
Nice body.
God, did he have his cowboy hat on?
Oh. He did.
Nice.
Definitely did.
Mm-hmm. Chaps.
Shirtless.
Cowboy boots.
The whole nine.
So I hear you just said something. You're gearing up for your next mountain climb.
Yes.
I am, yes. I'm traveling to Nepal in October. So October, November. It would be 25-day excursion, and you basically are on the mountain the entire time.
Okay.
So it's called Alma de Blom, and it's right next to Everest. It's in that region, and it is the highest I'll ever attempt in mountaineering.
I was just about to ask, would the next step be Everest then after that, but I assume this will be the highest?
This is the highest attempt so far,
okay.
Depending on how I do on this climb. I can gauge whether I can go up to an 8,000 meter peak, which is the highest, and potentially Everest soon.
Wow, that's amazing.
Is my goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah. See, the cold rules me out right there. The cold weather, I'm out just from that.
But, well, she has actually, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Raynaud's. So she actually has an excuse to stay out of the cold.
Okay.
A legitimate excuse.
What does that mean, though? No.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So Raynaud's is autoimmune. They don't know really why it's triggered.
Okay.
But it's vascular constriction of your extremities. So your feet, your hands turn ghost white when they get cold. So it's hyperexcited by the cold. And you are supposed to veer away from the cold.
She's supposed to stay out of the cold.
Man.
Supposed to avoid the cold, and I run into the cold.
Yeah. So what's the challenge behind that for you then is, do you wear extra gear or the same gear? I mean, how do you prepare for this? And if that's the thing that you have up against you already.
Right. I mean, it's tough because even with heated gloves, for example, in Peru, I still could not feel my hands at 18,000 feet.
Okay.
And you basically approach at a alpine start, so it's leaving at midnight. So it's 0 degrees, negative. And there's really no way to prepare it. And there's no real training for it. But I have heard that part of what I can do to adapt to the cold is actually stick my hands in an ice bucket for 8 minutes.
Wow.
So I do that every day. So I'll fill a bucket with ice, and my roommate comes in, and I just have my hands in ice, and he asks me, what are you doing? I'm like, it's training. It's part of my training. It's like an ice bath, but for extremities, and hopefully it helps.
Okay. How did you learn how to do that? Was that from a recommendation?
So I have a few mentors in climbing that have recommended it. There's some science behind it as well. A lot of leading experts in the industry have researched it and said that cold therapy actually is a great way to maybe acclimate and utilize it against, or actually use it for you, So for me, one of my biggest mentors is Conrad Anker, and he is probably one of the best climbers in the world. He's come out with documentaries, Maru. He's probably the best in the business.
Okay.
And I asked him, how do I recover from this? Or how do I, because I don't want it to debilitate myself.
I
want to climb. I want to do this. I want to become the best version I can in the mountains. So he said, get an ice bucket. Put your hands in ice. So,
and you said 8 minutes?
8 minutes.
Okay.
So I found a song. Ironically, it's called Freeze by is it Kygo? So Kygo just came up with a song called Freeze. And it's exactly 8 minutes.
Wait, the song's 8 minutes as well?
The song's 8 minutes.
I was meant for you.
And I said, this is my song. So I put it on every time.
Thanks, Kygo. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so. And I take it this is a practice. What about your feet, your extremities of your feet as well? Same thing?
So there are certain boots that are sold for mountaineering. There's 6,000 meter boots. There's 8,000 meter boots.
And 20,000? Because I need a 20,000 meter. I ain't still not doing it. I'm not sold yet. I'm not sold. Yeah.
So they're super thick and they're insulated and double wall. So they basically keep your feet warm.
Okay.
Warmer in higher altitudes. And for me, I haven't tried the 8,000 meter boot because I haven't been up that high. So I just got them in today, actually. So I have to go try them on and train with them. And I think the best part of that is breaking them in the summer in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Because they're so hot and warm. So I might take them up Mount Charleston and hike in them.
Oh, shit. Does it hurt your feet?
Well, they're very stiff. So they're meant for climbing, you know, putting crampons on the bottom and walking on ice and glacier. So they definitely are going to be interesting to break in.
Right.
It's going to be tough. But they basically almost go up to your knee. And they look like moon boots. They're pretty thick. They're just bright yellow boots. And I'll be breaking those in sometime this week.
I was just about to tell her, I go, why am I imaging myself like dressed as an astronaut in this whole scenario
well,
for me?
We
that's what
need
it seems
to,
like.
I'll send over a photo so we can put it up and show her actually on the mountain.
Mm-hmm. There's some great photos of you reaching the summit of a few of them. That's pretty impressive. So I'm really
excited
for you.
And then you can see her in her whole like suit and getty up. And then she literally had, I went and visited her before she went on her last climb and she had everything laid out on a pool table. And I was like, holy shit, you pack all this stuff. And she was like, yeah, girl.
Yeah. But that's left at the base camp, obviously. Right. And then you just kind of just go from there when you do your ascends.
So it's a process. To get to base camp, the treks itself, there's mules involved, there's porters involved, and then you carry a pack with you as well. So once you're at base camp, then there's a climatization phase. So you carry all your gear up to camp one, then camp two, and then all the way back down. So you're kind of doing it in intervals. Climbing to acclimatize, but also getting familiar with your gear and, you know, the guides and everything. So getting used to carrying the pack. So I actually train with the pack. I go to the gym and I'll wear about 40 pounds, 30 minutes of Stairmaster. And, you know, people kind of look at me weird with my moon boots, but that's what it is.
Do you wear those at Lifetime?
I do.
And they don't say anything to you? With you on the Stairmaster in them?
No, I mean, they look at me. They stare at me.
What are they gonna say?
I mean, I stare at you.
She's a paying
anyway
customer. Come
that.
On. Do whatever she wants
to
do. So
I'm staring at you for different reasons.
Can you imagine them going, like, through their, like, doctors going, is this legal?
Are you in yoga pants or shorts? Like, we want the whole visual.
Shorts would be fun.
Can you imagine?
Well, I think that's awesome. Now, your gear, by the way, so is it, do you, I know with different, altitudes, do you feel like if your gear stays the same? How fluctuated is this besides the boots and some of the little things like that? But your gear that you're taking up each summit, similar, same?
It's all different.
Okay.
Like you said, depending on the summit, right? 6,000 meters is way different than 8,000 meter. So for my next climb, because it's so cold, I have to wear a summit suit.
Okay.
Which they wear in Everest and the 8,000 meter peaks. So it's a full down suit, and head to toe, you're covered, you're layered up. And the art of mountaineering, you have to stay dry because the moment you get cold, you freeze and it's over.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that obviously that's my biggest challenge is staying warm, but not sweating.
Okay.
Have you ever got wet?
Yes.
Not in the wet you're thinking.
I was like,
the way she said it.
I was like, wow, we're going right for it right now. Okay.
Did you see how his head snapped over to me?
Yes.
I'm curious.
Oh my God.
At what altitude did that happen?
Have you ever gotten wet on the mountain?
Yes.
Okay, stop. Yes. So, like, let me get my visualization back. You can't go right back into the question again like that. Okay, hold on. Amber, rewind that. Let's start over. Okay, go ahead.
This is a live show, sir.
I've definitely over-layered and sweated and became, I had to change, but it all depends. You get to know your body, your mm-hmm. physiology, what altitude you're climbing, how fast you're moving. Also, how many people are you with?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've seen recent photos of Mount Everest, but there's lines, just see.
I've
people,
seen that jam packed. Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you're essentially standing in line waiting to summit. There's a queue.
If I may ask, how do they do that in a way that, you know, because people do get in trouble up there. I've seen like the Sherpa guy who did all those eight summits or whatever, however many it was, I think it was six or something, 14, 12?
So 14 peaks.
Thank you.
Nims Persia. Yeah.
Somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
He was amazing, by the way. But my question is that how do you, like, if they're lining all those people up like that, that is not safe, especially when you are kind of getting to certain points and people are, you know, like they said, there's frozen bodies dead on the side. You can't do anything about that.
Some people don't freaking make it.
Right. But if you're in a line like that, that long, and let's say you're at the back, I mean, obviously there's going to be a lot of back of the lines, but I'm not going to be that person in the back going, I can get up there much quicker. And you know, I'm just wondering, no, like
is
your
there pressure,
your cardio, your adrenaline, whatever it is to get you up there. Mm-hmm. Can you pass people up on the way or in theory? Okay. I just assume people are on a line, like just in a row and you have to stay in that line. In theory, I don't know.
You do. So there is a queue and you are essentially roped up. So you are on an ascender. There's fixed rope. However, for example, Nims, when he climbed, there was a queue, but he went around the crowd. So actually, I will be climbing with Nims. He's my guide October, which is exciting. Yeah, one of the best climbers in the world, right? What he did, essentially summited 14 8,000 meter peaks in 6 months.
Yeah, that was a great show, by the way. That was phenomenal. Have you seen
this? No.
Oh, you need to
watch TV.
This. Oh. This is something you should watch, though.
Will you send it to me, Kayla? I would love to watch it.
Yeah, like, it's very, very inspiring.
In 6 months, he did 14, right? And
just, right, 14 8,000 meter peaks, which previous record was.
Yeah, what was the record?
So I think it was like 7 years, something like that.
7 years he did in six months.
Wow.
Yeah. Ridiculous timing.
And you're hiking with this guy?
He's my guide. So he actually has a guide service, Ali Expedit, and we will be hiking on with Dablam. Yeah, and he does a lot more 8,000 meter peaks as well. But this is an intro to 8,000 meter.
Okay.
Okay.
Unbelievable. That's amazing. And on top of this now, this guys, we have Kayla Perez here and just already given a small tidbit of her like amazing adventurous lifestyle. You're also a luxury flight attendant, so you probably meet some amazing people and you get to fly to some really amazing spots. So how do you take time out in those areas for yourself, and what is your turnaround when you're in there like that for you with your job?
So I work in a very small niche of everyone thinks flight attendant, Delta, Southwest, right, commercial. Private is very much your own space. You can work in so many different avenues. You can work for Part 91, which is an owner of a company that owns a jet. Mm. You work for them specifically and travel with them. Or you can work for a charter, which is 135, and you can work with several different companies and fly a different person every day to different lengths. It could be here to LA or it could be here to Africa.
Okay.
And it's always different. So I kind of work in a hybrid style where I work both. I'm an independent contractor, so I pick and choose the trips that I want to go on. And obviously I can climb with that schedule because I can create freedom and I can create. I recently stepped down from a full-time position to climb mountains and do what I want to do.
You deserve it.
Right.
Yeah, you put in the work, sure.
It's been rewarding. It's been a journey. You know, you wear many hats as a flight attendant, and most people don't understand the process of flying. You know, so you basically, you're a chef, you're a florist, you're a planner, you're a safety attendant, you spoil the pilots, you do everything, right? And it's highly competitive, so every single flight matters.
Okay, do you work with is there a team system per se? Like, let's say the pilots go, we want Kayla on this flight. You know, do they get the choice, or is it mainly the company kind of deciding this after a while for you?
It's both. Mm-hmm. The pilots have a huge influence on whether they want you or not, but ultimately, it's up to the company or the owners of the aircraft.
Okay.
And sometimes they like you and they'll use you recurring, and sometimes they'll offer you full time. So it really just depends on what you want in the, you can work as much as you want or as little as you want.
Love that.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. See, it's better than being on a boat. A boat would like kill me. Like, you know, like services like that. I mean, this is, in the air I'll do all day. But being on a ship, it would just like with the rolling and all that stuff we were discussing in a previous episode, it would
so
just.
So you want to fly private? Is
yes. When are we leaving, by the way? That's what I was getting at. Come on, guys, pick up the cues. So where are we going? Right. Peru?
Anytime.
Yay. You hear that, guys? Yeah, we're going. Jamie, get with it. Come on. I need you to get better jobs.
So I was talking a little bit with her about. Plant medicine, and she's been to Colombia. So that's kind of my intention and my goal is to do a little journey with Kayla to Colombia.
Nice.
Hopefully the beginning of this year.
Yeah, let's discuss that. So guys, this is our episode today. We're going to get into, I want to call it wellness. We'll call it plant wellness as our episode today, because I know that you have really experience in just like natural, like, you know, what would we call this?
Plant medicine.
Thank you very much. So let's discuss that and let our viewers know, because I feel like it's a huge topic as of late. And I feel like a lot of people are now doing that route more of just going the natural route versus like the synthetic and chemical route. So let's touch base on that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So plant medicine is actually making its way through the mainstream space.
Right.
It's becoming more accepted, and there's a lot more science behind it now, more funding. For me, it's changed my life. It is. I haven't taken a pill or I haven't been to the doctor in years. It's been such a huge part of my journey and my truth. I've been lucky enough to, blessed enough to go to Colombia and sit with ayahuasca, which is in Colombia, it's actually called ambihuasca.
Okay.
And they call it the mother medicine. You know, it is the most beautiful experience of my life. And essentially what it is for me, stripping away the ego and the narrative that you've been told in life, that you've adopted. And there's nothing wrong with ego, right? We kind of demonize ego and say that it's something that we shouldn't have.
Right.
Ego is our identity. It's part of us. We work with the ego. However, we need to learn the process with that. And so ayahuasca kind of strips that away. Everything that you say, my name is Kayla, I'm a flight attendant, I do all these crazy things, but that is all extracted. And what you're left with is the truth, is the innate truth, is connection to everything that is. And for me, it was a lesson of self-love and infinite love, you know, the depths of who I am, why I'm here, and why we're all here, and kind of connect in that space. And once you're in that, and once you've recognized that, you can bring that back with you, and you can share that, and you can integrate and weave your fabric into your daily life, because you can now relate. There's a reference point.
Okay. Yeah. So off of that being said, then, do you feel like anyone who goes to do ayahuasca, and this is for, once our list, because I know there's a lot of people like, it's a nervous, because they feel like, the first thought that comes to mind with a lot of people, it's a drug, you know, it's a natural drug, it's still a drug, it's going to make me feel weird, whatever. What I want to know is the fact that, and after listening to her for the first time, I think I want to do it, because it's like, you know, but I like what you just said. That's the first time I got a full story on it. And trust me, I've done my drugs and I love my drugs, but like, that's something that I've always kind of not.
When Dan talked about it, you didn't want to try it?
No, I mean, you know, it's like, but Dan explained it a whole different way, by the way.
I want to hear his story. Yeah,
no, but she's explained a way where it's like you said, it strips you down. When I heard strips your ego away, that for me, you already sold me for there, because I live my life by that whole motto. So I'm kind of curious to go, well, if I already live that life and that motto of my life, I wonder what's going to do for me. Mm-hmm. It's going to strip me down even more so to the bare bones of like what I'm looking for. But my question is that if someone does that, and when you said the takeaway from it, if you have this takeaway, how many people actually, I guess the word I'm looking for is stick to that takeaway? Mm-hmm. You know, how much, you know what I mean? Versus like, oh, I did, it was fun and blah, blah, blah.
Do and people it's all go over. In and it not work for them?
It's what you allow. You know, what you allow, it's all intention. So you go into it thinking it's not going to work or you're not going to benefit in any way, it's not going to.
Right.
Right. Right. And it's something that they may have an experience, but they may not take away anything because they don't firmly believe it to their core. It's okay. not their reality. So they kind of suppress it along with other things. And not saying that it's a reality, but, you know, your personal reality becomes your personality.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what you really want to be called to it. It's something that is not a weekend, you know, it's not for everyone, but it's something that will show up in your life
okay.
in the right timing. And you will know for certain that you will respond in that intentional way of wanting more from that, wanting the depths.
Okay. And even if you, like you said something about intentional and people go in there and they might not find that same journey, in other words, fighting against it. Let's say most of the time, if people go into this situation, you know what you're getting into, you know what you're going to do because it's a process, right. like you said. So if I go into this process and trust me, I'll be fully submerged in it. I will love being in that situation, but I'm sure people get there and they talk themselves out of it right away when they're on it, because now they're trying to fight the urge or that feeling. Mm-hmm. But once again, they're there on their own free will in theory. So I guess what I'm getting at is, like, you know, I feel like if you're committing to it, how come people just don't let themselves fully commit? You know, it's like one thing that I always say, it's like you do
it's
something.
Fear.
It is fear. And that's okay to be scared, but it's like, just allow yourself to, do you feel like the fear comes in when it starts, the feeling of kicking in? And I say, sorry, I use that term, kicking in, because it's like, you know, with ecstasy and some of these, like, it's kicking in now. I feel it. I'm just saying. You know, it's
Like, that's definitely a thing in high positive.
Right.
So you take the cup and you're in
like,
it.
It's like, I feel it kicking in. So I'm using the word term loosely, kicking in. So that's when that thing starts happening. You see that fear coming in and they just don't allow themselves to be in the moment.
Like, do they shut down and can't experience the full?
I feel that they can, but they will still feel the experience,
okay.
but it may not be what they set their initial intention for. So it can easily be, she's going to show you, she meaning ayahuasca, will show you where you need to go at that moment. So if you're running or you're fear-based out of, you know, something that you're suppressing, she will summon that up,
okay,
and show you where you need to go. Very much a teacher.
Yeah.
And that's when you hear stories of, you know, going down this dark hole and seeing demons, and then you see, you know, this crazy world. That's just amplified from your fear.
Okay.
You know, it's almost creating that space for you so that you can face it, walk through that road, and release it. So for me, it's all surrender.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's about going in intentionally and fully surrendering, asking to feel what you want to. So for me, I go in with the intention of wanting to know my path, wanting to know why I'm here on earth. You know, these probing questions that we really don't truly ask ourselves, looking into the mirror. And for me, I surrender into that. The moment that you surrender, you can't resist. The moment you resist, you go down that.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm
Alice
not resisting.
In Wonderland hole.
Yeah, yeah.
But once you surrender, then you will feel and see all the answers that you need to.
Okay.
But I think that's everything in life, right? Surrendering to, it's also a push. It's a push and a pull, but surrendering in those right moments is crucial.
Right. And I know we all have those moments where, you know, when you, like, for instance, we know something, we know the answer to, and we avoid it because it's just a little scary. We're just scared of the truth in theory. But sometimes, like you just said, that truth, that's why I asked that question, because I would like to know how many people actually leave. Like you said, when you leave there, you know, you find an inner truth of yourself. And I want to know, do they actually stick with that path, you know, and hopefully they stick with the path because they found something, and it would just make a better world. That's all I'm getting. you know?
Oh my gosh.
That's all I want. Yeah.
1,000%. I mean, I think with like recovery, it's, and I'm not comparing ayahuasca to recovery, but every day it's setting your intention in a process and a practice. So just where you're at, like mentally.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and, you know, some people fall off the wagon and other people can stick with it.
Okay. Is there a time in that situation where, you know, that they say, you know, it's not the time for you to do this?
Absolutely. And you know, if it's your time or not. You know if you're called to the medicine or not. It's something that you know deep down in your core, mm-hmm. that you're ready for a change or you're ready to amplify. For example, Aaron Rodgers just went on a podcast talking about ayahuasca and his experience.
Okay.
And he won 2 Super Bowls after, yeah. you know, so he basically, it's going to amplify wherever your passion is.
Okay.
Right. And it's really going to bring that depth and that love into it. Really what it taught me was self-love to my core.
Yeah.
I couldn't offer anything to anyone till I truly loved myself.
Once and that's why I appreciate what you're saying, the self-love fact. When you said that, mm-hmm. I so appreciate that. And that mm-hmm. makes it sound like it's something that is, it's intriguing.
Yeah.
Very intriguing.
It's a beautiful medicine, and it's one of the avenues that we can take amongst others. You know, you hear of MDMA therapy,
mm-hmm.
That is now being more and more readily available and encouraged, okay. rather than any other antidepressants, where right. you're on them for life, for example, you know, and it's a reoccurring prescription, but this prescription is maybe a total of 3 times, and it starts working post as well. So right. it doesn't ever stop.
Okay.
It's actually retraining your brain and your neural circuits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
And then let's talk a little bit about Combo.
Combo. Yeah. So Combo is a master cleanse. It's also used in the Amazon. It's from the Amazon, the Amazonian giant tree frog. And what happens is they remove a secretion from the frog,
mm-hmm.
and they pick a access point. So, for example, each point would be burned off the top layer of the skin, and you put the secretion on each point. And it enters the lymphatic system, flushes your system, and you purge everything out. So it's a big cleanse. So a lot of prep for these medicines is Combo. And DMT, ayahuasca, you know, all these ceremonies, you really want to aggressively cleanse your body and your brain as much as you can,
okay.
to have a clean slate to receive. And Combo has been a practice that I've been practicing probably 3-4 years now, and I do it maybe every 3 months.
Okay, I was going to ask you that. Like, how often should you do something like that then?
It's as much as you feel called to.
Okay.
You could do it once. You could do it 3 times a month. But I do highly recommend, at least, you know, if you are called to it. Obviously, it's not for everyone, like any other plant medicine. If you are called to it, at least try it out, see how you feel, and then you partake in that okay. process of adopting it.
Is most of this stuff readily available to do in areas around, everywhere? Not, you know what I mean? Everywhere, like as in, can I go back to LA and just find a spot to do something like this to cleanse and combo or?
Right. So some of them are, some of them you are searching a little more in depth in the Amazon,
yeah.
for example, ayahuasca and these other sacred medicines. I always want to go to personal preference, and it's not for everyone. I go to Colombia,
okay.
or Peru, anywhere in the Amazon, because that's the land, that's where it's originated, that's where it was practiced and adopted, right? And Combo, I would do here in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Right. I have a sister that is amazing with it, and she hosts a whole ceremony with singing bowls, and it's very, very beautiful. It's almost a fine tune.
Yeah.
So you walk outside and everything's a little bit brighter.
Is yeah. there any one of these medicines that could be like overused and abused?
I think that's anything in life. Mm-hmm. I think anything could be overused and abused if you don't have the right intention behind it. You always have to ask yourself, why are you maybe relying on it if you're using it reoccurringly? But if you do it more than others, it's your calling, right? It's something that you truly know the answer to.
So, for example, like with Combo, if someone showed up like every 2 days, would she be like, okay, I think you're overdoing it, or is that not their place to say?
It's not the practitioner's place to say, but maybe there's some probing questions. Maybe there's deeper rooted questions that mm-hmm. you want to ask. Why do you want to do it so frequently? And why do you feel you need to cleanse so aggressively?
Mm.
And maybe it would pivot you into a different direction with a different medicine, maybe work with, or take a look at other angles of your life.
Right. Which is, yeah, that the psyche behind it. It's just when just you asking that question, I was thinking sometimes we're always searching for answers and searching for something. And even with the cleanse, it's like, you feel like you're not, it's never enough or something. So I can see why.
Or someone just wanting more, yeah, like having that addictive personality.
Right. Right. Like, I feel like with the ayahuasca, I don't know what the frequency, but you just answer that. It just depends on what your calling is and what, if it's calling to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, you know, once it's a great start, and then you just kind of see where it takes from there if you're open to it and you find right. those sort of answers. But the answers are always going to ebb and flow. I'm sure you might have discovered that. Or do you feel like you've come up with the same, yep, I'm still along the same path. Does it come across like that to you?
There's always deeper lessons every time I go into it.
Okay.
It's never the same journey.
Okay.
So I can go into a whole different journey and lesson the second time. So I've went to the Amazon twice, two separate times to journey with ayahuasca. And the first time was a good introduction to the medicine, to the land, to myself,
mm-hmm.
to the universe. I didn't fully grasp it until I had a reference point. Going back into it, I was a little more comfortable in the setting. And I surrendered even deeper. And I feel like when I surrender deeper and I fully just release any resistance, that's when I get the clearest answers.
Got it.
And that's when I fully felt that self-love just emerge from myself and give unconditionally to others. It was the most beautiful feeling of my life.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But it, like she said, it's a practice and being like intentional with your purpose and being there and knowing that you're able to surrender.
Yeah.
And then this weekend she introduced me to something. Do you want to talk about
that? Absolutely. Yeah.
New guys? What? Our new guy? This is interesting.
So we just didn't only do Tailgate Fest.
Surprise. She did actually meet my guy.
That's why the naked cowboy came up.
I sent him on his way.
So I introduced her to another medicine, a resource, a tool used in the Amazon, and it's called Hupe or Rupe, depending on the pronunciation. I can't even say that word.
pronunciation.
But Hupe is actually a tobacco. It's a tobacco snuff, and it's finely ground up into a powder. And how it's administered is through a small bamboo stick. So it's almost, the self-server is called a karupe. And it's a V-shaped bamboo stick. And you blow in one end and you put the tobacco on the other end and it goes up your nose.
I think I've seen this.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
So that's Hupe. And it's used in ceremony space. It's used to align, to cleanse, to calm your nervous system and really put you into that alignment for whatever space you're going in.
Okay.
So also during ayahuasca, it's a great tool the shamans use to either ground or to help you purge or to move that energy through you. It's not so much psychoactive, it's more meditative.
Okay.
So I would use it daily or, you know, every other day to meditate and to connect. And so I asked Jamie if she would allow me to serve her. And she said yes. And I was excited. I was very excited. So I served her just a small amount to acquaint her with the medicine, introduce her, and then you can finish the rest.
I didn't know how I was going to do because I was like, look, I've never done a drug in my life. I don't want anything up my nose. And I was like, I can't even do like a nose spray. And she's like, I mean, her energy you can already tell is like so calming and trusting.
It really is.
So I was like, if I'm going to try anything, like, it's of course going to be with you and I trust you. So she was like, I'm just going to do like a, she did like a small introduction. I was a little like freaked out, but I just like trusted. She gave really good instruction, direction, and it was really cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, for you,
and I would try it again.
How did you feel after you were done? And like, you know, she said to put you in a meditative state.
I told her, I was like, I'm just going to be honest. I don't even know how to like inhale a cigarette. And she was like, what? She's like, I need you to block your throat. Don't. And I'm like thinking all these things. I'm like, fuck, I can't even inhale or smoke weed. Like, right. I don't know how I'm going to do. And just, so her instructions were really good. And it was just, I felt like a sense of calm. And then I set an intention. I meditated and kind of repeated my mantra and tried to stay really like in a space of nothing.
Okay. Okay. And that feeling of that meditative state for you, how long did you felt your most calm in that perfect space?
I think it, well, I asked her and she said it's different like every time.
Yeah.
So we were like indoors and I feel like I was like, I'm very like outdoor nature. And I'm like, ooh, I just wanted like the sun on my skin. Mm-hmm. And I'm like even being in the window. So I don't know, like a good, I mean, I felt good throughout the entire day,
okay,
to be honest. But the initial, like it burned a little bit.
Yeah.
But she said, it's normal. That's normal. Mm-hmm. And then, it was like nothing negative. I don't have one negative thing say about it. And like I said, it's something that I would definitely try again.
Okay. All right. You hear this, listeners? There's a lot of really good stuff out there to help you to it's soul searching. I love the fact, mm-hmm, I'm just going to call it soul searching, because there's a lot of us that actually need to take a break from our everyday life and just kind of go out and be. And this is why for myself, I know a lot of people go to Joshua Tree to find certain things or whatever as well. I don't do Joshua Tree. I can like find myself in my own house at that point. but I do. And by the way, and I'm a nature, I'm a city boy at heart, but I do appreciate, like, I want to do the Amazon. I want to do things like that, because that's the stuff I appreciate, not stuff like Joshua Tree does nothing for me. I don't ever need to go out that way for doing anything where most people will do than find themselves and all this and that. It's not one of my things, but the Amazon, all that I will do, because it's an adventure. It's something new and it's different. I appreciate this, like something I'm fascinated with this whole realm, by the way, because it is, once again, it's nature's miracle, you know, with all the syndicated and fabricated drugs out there that we use in our day-to-day life to make us, to heal us, to things like that. We got to remember this all started from plant-based stuff that people forget about. I mean, if it wasn't for these plant-based things, you couldn't synthesize it and make a chemical version of it anyways. So yeah. So I appreciate it. I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
And you do have a calming, you're so calming. Gosh. You almost want me to meditate.
I'm like,
I don't meditate, but I'm just like, oh God, it's like, she's just so calm in your voice and just your whole like energy is just mm-hmm. an amazing energy. So
thank you.
Now I want to roll back to one little thing on top of this, dealing with the same thing. Your rock climbing and everything that you do in your life, like motorcycle riding, skiing, all these things, it's to you, it seems like it's a part of all of this in a realm. Like, it seems like when you rock climb, it's just a part of your calming. You're an outdoor person, and it just seems to really just keep you balanced.
Right. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So I pick each sport or activity, everything that I do, with intention and guidance, and it's meditative for me. There's a lot of love that goes in. There's a lot of love that goes into the suffering in a mountain. When you're on the top of a mountain and you're sleeping in negative degree weather and you can't breathe, you're nauseous, you're getting altitude sickness, there's a love of struggle in that, because you're persevering, you're pushing through your limited physical beliefs, and it's becoming the best version of yourself so that you can add value to those around you. And then essentially, that's why we're here, right? Earth school. And for me, I allow my life to just roll and unfold as it comes.
Okay.
I roll with it. So, you know, I might go take the Harley out one day and pack it up. And I actually just ran into Brian, and he he's like, yeah, let's go ride Harleys one day. And then the next day, go rock climbing. And the next day, I have to work or fly to Africa and then back. And then just meeting people, experiencing different foods, you know, just living life. And that's something that I just, if I want to do something, I'm going to go out and do it. And I'm going to enjoy it with full intention and gratitude.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. You got a good friend here.
I know. Lucky me, I got her all weekend.
Would you climb? Yeah. Would you climb with her? Would you do something like that?
You know, we talked about it this weekend, and we decided that she could go climb with my guy, and they can drop me off at Baskin Robbins.
She didn't have interest. She didn't have any interest in climbing, which is okay. There's no passion behind that one.
I will be right here for you guys when you get back. And I will be their biggest cheerleaders. Being like, yeah.
For sure. That's so funny. All right, I know our time is running short, and I could go on for lots of questions and ask so
many
things.
Maybe I will climb with you. Yeah. I don't want to
start her off small.
I'll take you up on that.
You know, here's the best way to do it. Just start off the moon boots and put her on the Stairmaster. If she can handle that, then she's ready.
If she could walk in them.
she got me in the gym this weekend.
That'll be the test. That'll be the test. So. Yeah. All right, we're gonna run into guys. We have Kayla Perez on the show, and thank you so much. We could keep you here for running our time. I'm sure we're running a little late today, but. But we're getting into our question of the day. So I'm going to pick one of these, and this is a really easy one. So this is an easy one. My boyfriend and I just moved in together. I've never shared a bathroom with a partner before. Any tips? What do I do not to lose my private time?
What do I do not to lose my private time?
She's not a candidate for ayahuasca, by the way, because she will have no private time in this situation. I'm sorry. She's going to be running through the jungle. She will have no private time, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, during ayahuasca, you have the poop trail, right? Ooh. There's no private time there.
She's out.
What is a poop trail?
So when you're sitting with the medicine, there's a trail that you follow. So when you're purging, you purge from all ends, right? And you get to know whoever you're with very closely.
Okay.
And get really personal real quick. So
people shit their pants?
No, you run to the trail. I mean, you're still conscious, so you can go to the trail, but it's like a landmine, and so it's pitch black in the Amazon, so you have a headlamp, and you gotta navigate through that area while you're journeying, so you gotta dodge the landmines, gotcha. Right? And so I feel like once you've experienced that, then you know your quiet time is a lot different.
See, girl, you're just like, this is nothing compared to what Kayla's talking about. Your private time, you're walking through shit mines. So I think give your boyfriend that opportunity to join in the bathroom, for God's sakes. But go ahead.
Invite him on an ayahuasca journey, and then you will have no issues.
All bets are off. Right.
You know, this is a real thing, by the way. And it's funny because, and I'm not going to say anything, but I had a friend of mine, she just recently broke up with someone, and and the guy was upset with her because he and this is the true quote, I can't date you because you don't go to the bathroom in front of me. So,
wow,
yeah.
That's serious. I feel like they need to go to the Amazon together.
Right, see? Thank you. But
how long were they dating?
It doesn't matter, but what I'm getting at, I don't want to delve anything, but it's a real thing, though, where people just, they need their private time, and they just don't want to, and I understand that. I get that. So
I value, I'm very much an introvert, and I need my private time and quiet time, and I've been single most of my life, so I'm very used to doing what I want to do.
Right.
And yeah, bathroom is a very personal experience. You know, people have their squatty potties. They have their routine, you know, it's a thing. So I think that you should respect each person as they, you know, need to release all of whatever they need to release in peace.
Yeah.
Or if you need to be a poop ninja, then you could do that too.
There's ways around that. What do you say to that?
Well, I told one of my exes that he wasn't allowed to shit in my toilet. Okay. So, right. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, did you have an extra bathroom, though? That's the thing.
I did,
though,
so yeah. If they don't have an extra bathroom, then it's like give and take. So either you accept right. or move on.
Yeah, good luck in you hotel rooms, buddy. Yeah, good luck in hotel rooms, because that's the thing. That's where it makes or break these relationships in my eyes. So.
And especially there is a
thing called one drop.
I'm a fan. I'm one drop's huge.
You bring your one drop because no one wants to smell your...
Yeah.
or poopery. Oh, yeah. Carry that on the plane. Right. Yeah.
I did that with my girlfriend on our first trip, our reconnective trip. We went to Mexico and I put in the go, hey, let's just preface, if you got to go to the bathroom because we're going to be here for 5 days together, this thing is the most amazing thing. She goes, really? Go try it out. So the next thing she runs out, she goes, oh my God, that's so amazing. I don't smell anything. She's like, sniffing around. You know how you start sniffing around when you use it because you really want to believe it? She goes, my head was in the toilet. I can't smell anything. I go, I told you it's the most amazing thing. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm a big fan of one drop.
I am too.
And yeah, on planes, it could get pretty personal too. So
yeah,
that's a whole different day.
Yeah, that's a thing. It's a thing. All right, guys. Yeah. So tell your boyfriend, you know what? Just first of all, girl, just tell him you need your private time. I think you should be respectful. If you have one bathroom in this whole place, then, you know, just ease into it. Don't feel like you feel obligated or rushed. You brush your teeth together, wash your face in the same room. But if you got to do whatever you got to do, just kick him out. So, all right. And we'll leave it at that. So Kayla, is there anything that we can plug for you as we're saying
adieu? Where can we find you?
Probably just Instagram or Facebook. Miss K Perez is my Instagram. You'll see all me. Crazy adventures and medicines, and basically it's a collage of my life. but that's basically it. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating. It. Jamie?
Very cool. Just shout out to Microtech today. Thank you guys for always hooking me up with my fun little toys here. I love them.
They look amazing. All right, guys, and you can find us at Anything Dating Intelligence on social media, and my personal is at Fetch Sport. And please subscribe to YouTube and check us out. We have a great guest today, Kayla Perez. And once again, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, guys, another episode, and we will see you soon. We are out.
Yay!